I heard a breath. Somebody say something.
That awkward moment when we just start recording with no plan and hope everyone else takes it from
there's
there.
There's a plan.
This is indeed a spontaneous podcast. Welcome to the cabin.
I'm Mariah Haberman.
I'm Eric Paulson.
I'm Audio Dave.
Oh my God.
We are off to a great start here. Okay.
We even forgot about Ellen.
Oh, hi, Ellen.
Hey, I'm Ellen.
Okay, we have to start by answering last week's trivia question. There are two counties known as Wisconsin's original counties. The hint was that it's not Crawford County. So, Eric.
So, one of them was Crawford County, though.
Right. Yeah, that was what I didn't understand last week. So, there are two original counties. One is Crawford.
It's the other one.
It's the other one.
And my guess was Milwaukee County.
Yep.
Because it once covered a huge chunk of the state. But apparently I'm wrong.
Yeah.
My guess was Shawnee County because we talked about Langlade County being new county after it separated from there.
Mm-hmm.
Is that also wrong?
You're wrong, too. Hey, Audio Dave, why don't you hit that thing and we'll give the answer.
All right.
Oh, this gives me cabin vibes. Who am I mocking right there? Eric, that's what you like always. You always comment
on. I'm sitting right here. Jeez.
You always head bob and then anyway.
I can't help it. It's a cool little beat.
It's very endearing.
Yes.
Where was I? Oh, okay. The cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association. And this week we're featuring Brown County.
Which was the answer all along.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
My home county.
That's right.
Yeah. You should have read this one, I feel like. Do you want to take the honors?
And you thought it was Shawnee County that was older? Oh, for crying out loud.
Don't they teach you anything up there?
I was just leading the listeners on. I knew the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Liar.
You tease.
No, you're doing great.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Brown County has one of the finest harbors on the Great Lakes. That sounds a little bit subjective. And the port of Green Bay is an international port for domestic and foreign trade. Brown County is the fourth largest county in Wisconsin. I have to ask, from population or geographically?
I know from my guess would be
normally,
population.
That's what I would have assumed. Oh. That's why I asked. And I also only asked because you always say which,
that's true.
What you
I
mean.
Always do that.
Ellen's slipping over here.
I dropped the ball this week in celebration of our 21st episode, and I apologize.
It's the Chardonnay talking,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Jeez.
Milwaukee, Dane, and Waukesha are larger in population, but Brown County would be next.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
About 300,000, I believe.
I was going to say it's not that big of a county in terms of land.
Yeah. Population density.
Yeah.
That's my final answer.
Okay, yeah. We'll talk with confidence. That must be the right one. Okay. Composed of 13 townships, 9 villages, and 2 cities, Green Bay and Ashwaubenon?
Or De Pere. One of the two.
Okay. We need to stop with all the follow-up questions on this.
It's not Suamico. It's not a city.
That's where you're from, right?
That's where
it
I'm
might
from.
Be Howard. I don't know.
Howard? No.
Bellevue's a village.
I love the name Ashwaubenon. I just have to say, like, hands down.
And Suamico is great, too, I think.
Phenomenal. Yep.
Okay. Green Bay is the largest cheese processing, concentrating, and shipping center in the U.S. I didn't know that.
That's because it has such a fine harbor, and it's located on several interstates.
It's all I'm connecting the dots now.
Perfect hub for shipping that cheese out.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Wisconsin Counties Association, for bringing us these fun facts on Brown County via Ellen Fallon.
The oldest county in Wisconsin. Our campfire conversation today, one of my favorites so far, since it's episode 21, we're talking iconic bars.
Yes.
In Wisconsin. Now, this could be an entire podcast by itself, like for years.
For right? once, we're not going to slow you down once you start only talking about destinations bar to bar to bar.
I think we'll break this down into like regions of the state in future episodes.
Yeah, I love that idea.
There are plenty to talk about. We're just going to hit on a few here today. But one of the first ones that came to mind, and partially it's because we brought it up last week, Mariah.
Yes.
Is the Monarch Public House.
Love it.
Fountain City, Wisconsin, which is just one of the beautiful little towns along the Great River Road, right on the Mississippi. It's the oldest continuously serving bar in Wisconsin.
Sounds Wisconsin like they were mainland. A little bit naughty during Prohibition.
Possibly. 1893 is when it opened. Now, Fountain City Brewing Company has also had facilities in there. Mm. Which first attracted me to the place. But the Monarch Public House itself, you know, just really cool. I mean, all the classic stuff you love about an old bar.
Well, and with an Irish take. And it's actually owned by an Irish guy named John. I have met him. He is a lovely. I love that. I mean, I think it doesn't get more authentic than that.
Oh, absolutely not.
And very cool. I remember he actually has this downstairs area. We were, when I was there, it was like Christmas Eve, I want to say. So there's very few people in the bar. Don't question it. It was a thing. Yeah. Okay, so we went to the Monarch and he was so nice and gave us a tour of the bar. And we actually got to go in. There's like a downstairs bar area. I cannot remember if it's always open to the public or just sometimes.
Well, the thing with that bar is there's, it's open to two different streets. The Great River Road is a level below the main street in downtown. And so the upper level of Monarch, you go in from a street in the downtown area, but if you park on the Great River Road and go in, that's the lower
level. Can you imagine having to build things, you know, bars or anything like that, like in those towns?
Yeah, I mean, you're building into hills all the time, so you have to account for that.
Well, anyway, it's a really cool bar. It's a pretty popular tourist bar, too, because it's right there on the Great River Road. Obviously, when I was there, it was like Christmas Eve, so not as many tourists. But so that's when you can go if you want to get a personal tour. But very, very cool bar. They've got merchandise for sale, too, there as well.
Absolutely. Now, speaking of prohibition and operating perhaps during, if we go out onto an island, Washington Island specifically, off the tip of Door County, Nelson's Hall, which also lays some sort of claim to being one of the oldest continuously operating bars in Wisconsin. They had noted, you know, when you're on Washington Island, when Prohibition was going on, you were kind of operating onto your own law in a sense. I mean, the people enforcing Prohibition weren't getting on the ferry and going across too much. So you probably could have grabbed a beverage there between 1919 and 1933. So that's one.
I'm thinking about what life might have been like. I'm trying to wrap my head around what life might have been like during Prohibition.
It was pretty boozy, actually.
I mean, just gin, Al Capone. Sneak around to.
I know, it's like being 20.
So weird. So 20, like, perpetually.
Remember that, Mariah? Yeah.
No, barely.
So, but Nelson's Hall has also become a big center for bitters. They have a lot of great bitters to choose from in the drinks that they pour.
So it's my understanding that that's the reason why you can join the famous Bitters Club.
Correct.
Is right. They okayed, or they gave themselves a pass to serve alcohol in, because there's alcohol in bitters. Is
correct.
That right? Okay.
And they've also talked about the medicinal qualities of bitters and things like that. So, you know, technicalities can
work. Are you part of the club?
You know, I'm not, and I should be. I need to get back over there. I need to get an Albie burger at the drive-in. At the Albatross Drive-In, and then go up to Nelson's Hall and join that club.
What do you have to do to be part of the club?
You have to take a shot of bitters, and then they give you an official card that I now carry around in my wallet. Yes, it is a definite topic of conversation anytime you're at any other bar in Wisconsin.
So now we know the answer to the question, what's in your wallet? Okay.
Well played.
Good to know. Oh, thank you, All right. So, yes, that should be on your bucket list, is to hit Nelson's Hall in Washington.
Let's all record remotely from Nelson's and take the shot together.
Ooh, oh, my God. That would be so much fun.
I'm down.
Yeah.
So, let's go to another iconic bar that the other two we've talked about so far are kind of out in these little rural areas or a small town. Right in the downtown of one of Wisconsin's larger cities is... In downtown Appleton, Cleo's.
Oh. Okay, so first of all, before you go too far into the Cleo's talk, because I love Cleo's, I did a poll on my Facebook page and on Instagram, and Cleo's was one of the bars I asked people, tell us what you want us to feature on The Cabin today, and that one came up. It was probably one of the top five most mentioned bars today on Facebook and Instagram.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
But yeah, it's very well known.
I don't know that I've heard of it.
It is. And you grew up in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh, for crying out loud. Well, let's inform you, Audio Dave. It's right there on
College. I didn't turn 21 in Green Bay.
Oh, that's true. That's true. No, it's right there on that main strip on College.
Okay.
Downtown. Lawrence University just to the east, and all those other bars and restaurants just to the west. And it's just become iconic. It's been open for a long time. They have Christmas decorations up all year round. I mean, Lewis Black, the comedian, talked about Cleo's.
Really?
I was at Summerfest in Milwaukee. He was doing a comedy gig, and he brought up Cleo's.
What did he say?
Because he's like, well, he was doing a newspaper story about a situation that had happened in Appleton, which I won't get into, even though it's funny. Okay. But, you know, he's got that exasperated, you know, delivery and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, and I love drinking in Wisconsin and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, and my favorite bar is this place in Appleton called Cleo's because it's always Christmas. That's just how he says it. With the, yeah. And so I interviewed him on my Aircast podcast and I brought that up to him. And yeah, he loves Wisconsin for, well, the reason we're doing this iconic bars thing that contributes to it.
It's funny because when you think of bars, you typically have this vision in your mind of a very dimly lit scene. But when you walk into Cleo's, it is anything but. It's bright and red and there are Christmas lights everywhere.
Well, it's awesome. It's not bright in the sense where you almost need sunglasses to walk in the place.
No, but it's colorful.
But it's very festive and colorful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still kind of, well, of course, last time I was there, it was a really bright sunny day and I walked in there and it felt dark. And then suddenly the Christmas lights just gave it a warm
feel. See, I've never been there in the summer, which I feel like you've got to go to Cleo's. I've been in the winter and it felt probably a little more natural to be there, in a Christmassy bar.
Well, you seem to hang out on bars on Christmas Eve, Christmas, Mariah.
Maybe you're at the wrong bar there on Christmas Eve.
You know, I might go to Cleo's for like maybe around 4th of July, just mix up my holidays and stick to the Irish bar Eve.
Perfect. Now, that is a terrific bar in a city filled with terrific bars. Appleton's really a fun place to go hang out. Another big city bar, small bar in a big city, off the beaten path. Very few people just happen by, but they've all seen the bumper stickers.
Oh, yeah.
Wolski's.
Mm-hmm.
Wolski's Tavern in Milwaukee, which dates back, I'm not positive on the year, I think it's 1908.
That sounds right.
It's basically in what looks like a house. Mm-hmm. On this little street called Pulaski in a crowded area of the Lower East Side of Milwaukee. Now, Brady Street, which is a huge area of bars and restaurants, is right nearby. And it's not too far from Water Street, just northeast of downtown. And to look at the bar from the outside, you don't think there's anything. And of course, a lot of iconic bars are like that.
I like that, yes.
But you walk in, and it's very cool and it's very old school. But the thing that really, well, first of all, I was buying Blatz's there for $1 like 2 years ago. You don't do that in too many places. And then they have a tradition there where every time they close, at closing time at 2 a.m., they hand out bumper stickers that say, I closed Wolski's. And you will see those far and wide.
Africa.
Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
I was on business in Sweden at a radio station, and I walked past a closed office, but there were windows there, and I could see through, and this guy had a whole wall of stickers. I closed Wolski's.
That's awesome.
Was
on
there.
Isn't that great? Yeah. Awesome. I just love that. I went on a Brady Street walking food tour in Milwaukee probably 3 or 4 years ago, and it included a stop at Wolski's. And just hearing their story, they come out to the group and talk to you about the history. At that point, I knew of Wolski's, but I didn't really know. They explain why they give out those stickers, how they've come to be so iconic, and that's just really cool to see and hear of the fact that people are literally have them on their cars and in their offices all over the world.
And they even print them on other things. Jimmy Fallon was doing a Tonight Show episode one time, and he had been to Milwaukee for something, and I forgot what it was for. This was, in, I think, 2017 maybe, and he had an I Closed Wolski's bottle opener that he showed everybody, and he gave Wolski's in Milwaukee a shout out. And
that's awesome.
So it's pretty cool when you can be a small bar like that, but you can have an impact that,
totally.
That people see all over the place.
Reminds me of Wall Drug.
Yeah, it's very much like that.
Well, I wanted to talk Madison, and I had a hard time coming up with one to really officially add to our list because, you know, like Milwaukee, we're really like a lot of different spots in Wisconsin. There's clearly no shortage. We've got Paul's Club, Come Back In, yes. Essen House, Wando's, The Great Dane. I landed on the Plaza.
I love that.
Ah.
Yeah.
I was so happy to see
that. Okay, good.
You included Plaza.
I know a lot of people, it's not your tourism hotspot. Like, you know, the Great Dane definitely is. The Essen House absolutely is. Those are great spots if you want to feel like a tourist. And I love those bars. I frequent them. But Plaza's one that I would definitely categorize it into the dive bar bucket.
Yeah.
Flies under the radar. You kind of get what you get when you walk into the Plaza. Now, it is very well known for its Plaza Burger.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like $5 or something. They're super cheap.
I remember, yeah.
And this is another one that began serving during Prohibition, allegedly. It's kind of a theme with our...
Seems to be.
In order to be a legendary
iconic
bar...
bars are rebellious.
Yeah, I was going to say very rebellious. But nowadays, obviously, it is legal to drink at the Plaza. Actually, right now during COVID, kind of feels like we're in a little bit of a prohibition. I don't know if it is legal to go there. But yeah, they're very well known for their affordable beers and the world famous Plaza Burger. There's just so much to love there, and it's right downtown. Again, easy to miss in terms of the outside. It's not a bar that kind of screams at you. It's not going to have a line out the door, likely. But I've never had a bad time. Thursday night, sure. Yep. Yeah.
As a college kid living a few blocks away from Plaza, that was always my favorite bar to go feel like I was up north again and kind of get that dive bar feel when every other bar was, just standing room for chugging drinks. This was the only bar that you could go and play pool, and there was arcade machines, and love the Plaza.
A little more chill.
I want to say one that Dave scoffed at when he saw it on the outline earlier.
Oh, no.
I didn't know you scoffed, Dave.
Scoffed.
He just scoffed right now.
I put it on the outline more so because of the story that goes with it. So if you are from Madison or a college student where it went to UW, you definitely know about the KK, the college club. I don't know if I would call it iconic. You know what?
It's iconic.
Yeah, it's iconic. But my story is after my 21st birthday, like a couple days later, I was in the car with my dad who grew up in Madison. And he was like, so where did you go on your 21st birthday? Because he knows the area, obviously. And I was like, oh, you know, here and there, blah, blah, blah. The KK. And my dad stops the car and he's like, you went to the KK? Really? And it was just
which stands for the college club.
The college club. And it was just so funny that he was like, oh, you went to the KK. Just because, like, he has his own college memories from there and everything. I just thought that was so funny.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Well,
that bar is definitely, I don't know when it opened up, but it's been around for at least 50, 60 years nonstop.
There's a lot of those.
Long history in the Greek system.
Yeah, it's right at the end. Right at the end of the Greek Row area at Langdon.
Yeah. No hate.
Oh, the KK.
Pretty sweet. We'll go to Manitowoc. I've got a kind of a unique one. I call it iconic, not that everybody knows about it. But
is it a hidden gem?
If you go there, it's more of a hidden gem, I would say. But when you go there, it becomes iconic on your own list.
Okay, why is that?
Just because it's so unique. It's called Kathy's Stage Door Pub. And it's in a house in Manitowoc, downtown Manitowoc. From the Capitol Theater, it's a couple blocks up and one or two blocks over. And this place, again, it's a former house, and it's one of the oldest structures in Manitowoc, built in the mid-1800s, like 1850s or so. And you walk in there, and you do feel like you're in someone's house, because there's furniture, and there's
creepy or endearing?
Very endearing and very cool, and a lot of theatrical stuff in there. Props. All kinds of unique things. And the bar area, which is very small. I mean, it might seat five.
I like it already.
And it's kind of in a little corner area. It's like it seats two on one side and three on the other. And there's there's some tappers behind it and a lot of different wines and cocktails they can make. It's owned by a family, and it's been passed down through generations. And there's another side room that has some tables and everything where you can have, you know, more people in and everything like that. And they are a very popular stop for people after they attend a show at the Capitol Theater. And again, there's theater themed stuff all over the place.
That's
and
cool.
A lot of historic little trinkets and pictures and photos. You walk in there, and again, it's a small place overall, but you will find yourself fascinated with it for hours.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it's very much a place that becomes iconic once you see it.
Okay, ready to guess my next one?
Does it start with a safe?
Gave it away.
It could be anything at this point.
I'm going to switch just because you guessed it.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, fine.
I like the next one better anyway.
I'm going to La Pointe, where we are going to talk about Tom's Burndown Cafe. I like it because it comes with a story. The bar literally burned down years ago. Now, this is, again, La Pointe. So I'm talking Madeline Island, way up to the top of northern Wisconsin.
La Pointe, by the way, being French for the point.
Oh,
La Pointe. While owner Tom Nelson stared at his charred building, a beer truck showed up with that week's delivery. Tom decided right then and there to keep the bar as is. Today, it's an open-air tavern with eclectic signage sure to make you chuckle. And chuckle it does.
It is
one of
so
those
cool.
Signs, yeah. One of those signs says, red meat isn't bad for you. Green fuzzy meat is bad for you.
There is no shortage of just
things to look at.
Yeah, yeah. Strange mm-hmm. things to catch your attention, and you just walk around feeling like you're in the middle of a shipwreck.
Me, Audio Dave, you and I, and Andy and Teddy and Jess, I think all you taught yep. us some Canadian
oh yeah
card game up there.
Canadian fruit basket, also known as Canadian Wisconsin Scramble.
Oh, Wisconsin Scramble.
Canadian yep. fruit basket.
It's and so
also,
fun.
Also, as my family calls it, Turkish turd basket.
Oh my gosh, I can't keep track of all. But it was very fun.
Uh huh.
For those of us who were pretty good at it, there was a couple people struggling from what I remember. It is Andy. A very fun Andy. By a couple people, I mean Andy. But yeah, I love that bar. I've talked about it on this podcast, on the show, and in person with most people that I meet who want to know where to go and drink and have a good time, because it's just, to me, the epitome of vacation. Like, you cannot not have a good time at Tom's Burntown Cafe.
So unique.
Two of the iconic bars we've talked about so far can only be reached by ferry.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about one that's right in the downtown of our largest city? Because I'm bringing you back there, Maya.
Okay. First, keep an eye out for the covert signage outside this spy-themed hideaway. It reads, International Exports LTD. Next, slip inside the red door. Double agents need not attempt. If your password is correct, you'll enter a world of espionage and experience a classic Milwaukee tradition, also known as
the Safe House,
which was probably the most recommended bar on my Facebook and Instagram today when I asked people for
was it?
Iconic bars.
Well, it's definitely iconic. In fact, it's so iconic, they copied a version in Chicago. There's a Safe House now in Chicago. Oh. Right on State Street, right across from the Chicago Theater.
What's so fascinating to me about the Safe House is it has built its brand, its bar, around being hidden and secluded, but somehow it's the most well-known bar in the state. How does that work?
It's a unique combination.
I know they're, like, I was reading some articles where people said they did not want me to, like, people on social media said, don't post any pictures of the outside of the bar. Like, that is a sacred thing. Like, they don't want it to be on the internet.
Well,
I guess
can't tell it's the outside of that bar very easily.
Is it so?
The entrance,
I respect that.
The entrance is in the alleyway. I won't tell you where.
I
want to
go. I want to go. Sorry.
You know what else is interesting about the Safe House? I mean, obviously, there's a huge James Bond theme. The what makes the bar so cool is so many hidden things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hidden gems inside that bar.
Nope, you already got one.
Okay, fine.
He is not getting into the Safe House.
There's secret ways. There's three or four ways to get out of there, and some of them are secret passageways that you have to discover yourself. Yes.
Huh.
There is a naked picture of Burt Reynolds in the women's restroom that if you lift up the key door to see a key area, a siren goes off.
Why do you know that?
Because I know a lot of females who've been in that restroom, and then you hear the siren when you're in there. So there's a lot of really cool elements to it. And the bar opened, I think, in 66, maybe 64, somewhere in there. But they have never changed the password.
That's awesome.
Oh, wow. Someone will have to tell me what it is after this podcast.
No. Because if you don't know the password, they make you do embarrassing things before you can go in there. And there's closed-circuit television showing the whole thing inside the bar. There's so many unique elements.
You've got to be a little tipsy before you even show up to that place if you're going to be on camera dancing and doing crazy stuff, I would imagine.
Ideally,
or you start your night there.
And if you're not tipsy yet, it's a good place to start your
night. That's
where
you start?
You can start your night if you know the password. But if you're going in blind, what I'm understanding is you want to have a
couple
drinks.
And DJ spin dance music late, so it's a good place to finish as well.
Okay, well, I think we're heading out on tour. The Cabin Podcast on tour. We're going to a bar. We're going to do a Wisconsin bar crawl.
Works for me. Wow, and you got to order a martini shaken, not stirred, at the safe house because they will put it in the same kind of tubing that they use at the bank and shoot it all across the bar.
Nice.
What?
It's really cool.
Wow.
Put a little glow stick on it.
We need to go on tour.
Yeah, we need to go on tour.
So you'll be sitting in one of the other rooms in a bar and a martini shaker just flies by in the tubes.
Justify this tour. I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay, well, there's anything we've made clear, it's that we needed to do a multi-series of iconic bars in Wisconsin because we didn't even get to our list.
We've done five or six out of several thousand.
There's so many.
We will break it down by region.
They're so fun. Yeah, we could break it down by region. We could also do specific types of bars. So if you guys have ideas, if you're super mad at us for not mentioning your favorite iconic bar, don't leave a review. Just DM us. With your anger.
We have a place for this. Get in the Facebook group.
Oh, around the campfire. Yeah. Share your anger there where it's just, you know, not in our 5-star review section. Keep that separate, people. No, for real though. This is just such a fun topic. I know people always get really excited when we talk, like all the things we mentioned, those are all so interesting, unique in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
now I really want to go on a...
And those things you won't find in any of the bars anywhere else.
And I have to say, make sure you're safe. Find a DD when you do go out to these bars. And yeah, just, you know, drink responsibly. Don't drink Wisconsinably, drink responsibly.
Have another sip of Chardonnay there. The Cabin is sponsored in part by Group Health Trust. This week, we're talking about a new blog on the Discover Wisconsin blog called The Bobber about the benefits of yoga.
Why did you say it like that? Bobber.
Bobber.
It's called The Bobber.
It was a very aggressive take.
Well, because I was saying blog twice really close together.
I don't know if this is the smoothest transition.
Bobber blog.
Megan Tucker is the owner and CEO of Dragonfly Yoga. She wrote this blog to cover the benefits of yoga and how it can impact your well-being. And I can talk about this too. I mean, Mariah, I'm assuming you do yoga.
Yep. Okay. Occasionally.
I do it some of the time too. And you feel it's hard to do because you contort your body. You work up a heck of a sweat. You don't even go anywhere, but you work up a sweat, but you feel so good when you're done and you work out parts of your body that don't normally get that. So, I mean, yoga can be really incredible. Huge health benefits of regularly practicing yoga: improve strength, lower blood pressure, stress relief, anxiety reduction, a lot more, including, you know how to go,
Namaste.
Yes, very well. My favorite pose is child's pose. It's really easy.
So comfortable.
I just love Who doesn't love child's pose?
Right? Head over to the official Discover Wisconsin blog called The Bobber. Did my voice just crack there? Oh, for crying out loud. I'm 13 years old, I guess. Bobber.discoverwisconsin.com to read Megan's full blog on yoga.
Go have some more Chardonnay over there.
I think I will. You're right, Mariah. I do like to like groove and move my neck around to this song. All right. We are talking dairy during our behind the scenes segment, which starts now, specifically Beyond Dairy 2.0. And today we're joined by Nikki and Ben Peterson. Are they DW hosts? No. But are they featured in this new episode? Yes. So they're joining us today from Grantsburg. Nikki, Ben, welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good to have you on The Cabin. And first of all, tell us a little bit about yourselves, and then we'll get into not only your dairy, but your beer.
I'm a fifth-generation dairy farmer. Yeah, my parents and I, along with a bunch of employees, milk about 1,000 cows on 16 robots.
Wow. That's crazy.
Sorry, that sounded funny to me. Yeah. But that's true.
That's not your typical elevator pitch, I feel like. But you know what? So, because I think I remember from the show, and I want to get to the beer side of things that Eric referenced. We'll get to that in a second. But I think I remember seeing you guys started with 33 cows. Is that right?
Yes.
And now you're at 1,000?
Yeah, way back in 97, something like that.
Wow.
Wow.
What's that been like for you, Ben, to see the evolution of the farm, you know, since the 90s? It's got to be pretty...
It's been a heck of a ride.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
Now, the farm in question, Four Cubs Farm, is the name of your farm.
Yep.
And it's in Grantsburg. Now, you did have a really horrible experience at one point where you had a huge fire.
Yeah, we lost our whole milking system. And basically, is why we ended up with robots. It was a horrible thing, but it was, now in retrospect, it really allowed us to move forward.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on the show.
It was crazy.
You can see when it was engulfed in flames, and it was really mind-boggling just to see that. But your ability to respond to it allowed you to flourish, really, in the end, in the long run.
Well, and I think not just, I mean, your guys' ability, but I think one thing that has always amazed me about the farming community is that, well, the word community, when something like that happens, it seems like everyone stops what they're doing. They get out of their own fields or out of their own parlors, and they're there helping the family in need. It kind of seemed, from what I could see in this segment, it seemed like that was the case for you guys. Is that kind of how it went down?
Yeah, we moved 800 cows in 6 hours without a single semi. Well, no, there was one semi.
Wow.
Wow.
So, I mean, most loads were 8 to 10 cows.
Oh, my gosh.
This is Nikki, but one of my favorite memories was someone pulling up with a horse trailer that could fit 2 cows, and they were going to have to drive 1 hour each way to get to a new farm. And I said, you know, you don't need to worry about it. And she's like, no, we're here to help.
Oh,
and so they took their 2 cows.
That is so crazy.
And so you have a new system for milking out of that. And you've also, as the dairy has grown, you've also diversified your business into what is now called Brickfield Brewing.
Yes, we were crazy and did all this at the same time.
You know, beer and cheese are kind of what Wisconsin's known for, so
absolutely.
Why not?
Right.
You guys are brilliant, I think. I'm trying to think of other farmers who have gone. I'm sure there are some, but like when I watch the segment, I'm like, how have I never thought of that connection between dairy farming and...
It's absolutely natural,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and brewing. I think it's brilliant.
The wheat and the barley. One of the cool things about what you guys do with your brewery is you source a lot of your own ingredients.
We will be. We planted our barley last year. It was too wet to have custom malted. So this year is looking better for the conditions. So hopefully we can have it custom malted and making our own beer out of our own grain.
Yeah, this year I'll have enough to supply about 10 breweries.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, that's the nice part. You can scale up and help others too.
We put in way too much.
Take me back to the moment where you guys said, what about a brewery? How did that happen?
Was it over a few beers?
Yes. Never.
Were you sober? Were you sober when that was ideated?
No.
At least he's honest. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of a backwards plan. We were looking at the building to purchase for my marketing business, and it's an old creamery. So it was a creamery until 1957, big smokestack coming out of it, brick building, situated across from a lake, and it wasn't being utilized for anything that would really capture that. And so we decided to make a small room of it, my marketing business, and then took a step back and like really thought about what type of business would benefit Grantsburg in general, bringing people to town, bringing them off the crazy highway that we live on and into downtown Grantsburg. And so Ben and I, you know, like our beer and we like going to breweries. So we thought, let's start a brewery.
I love it.
When did it start?
Well, we opened in September of 2018, but we actually bought the building a month before our fire at the farm.
Oh,
and wow. So we were running renovations on both projects simultaneously for a year, which we didn't sleep in.
That's insane.
I broke a lot of concrete that year, let me tell you.
You know, so this is our second episode of Beyond Dairy. We did one where we featured four different families. And just for our listeners, the idea of this Beyond Dairy show is to take our viewers literally beyond dairy, where they meet four different families in Wisconsin who are dairy farm families, but they're all four of them are doing some pretty fascinating things or running different businesses or doing different hobbies outside of dairy. And the reason why, I mean, the show is interesting to me in general, but the reason why it's extra fascinating to me is I know I'm not a dairy farmer, but I know the business and that it is extremely time consuming. And I'm trying to wrap my head around how the heck you guys run two successful businesses at the same time.
Like, three?
Well, and this marketing business.
Yeah, marketing business. Yeah.
And have two little kids.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I mean, great employees at the farm. Okay. That really makes things a lot easier.
I'm curious if we check in with you in like 5-10 years, are you going to have like a whole enterprise of 8 more businesses? Are you guys just constantly concepting?
There's days we just want to retire, and then there's days we're like, well, let's do this and this and this and this and this.
My prediction with additional grains, you're going to open a distillery in a few years.
There we go.
We looked into it.
Have you? Yeah.
It's a natural extension.
There's some rules in Wisconsin, but
yes.
But yeah, we're right now expanding and offering our own ground beef in the brewery for sale too. So we're tying more into the farm, and we're going to do our own sweet corn to sell at the brewery. So just trying to tie more and more, and we feed our spent grains back to the cows already. So just kind of incorporating both of them together more and more and more.
So it's kind of almost like a farmer's market / brewery.
Yeah.
I don't need to becoming that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that.
Well, and then you can go across the street and buy some clothes too.
Yeah, we bought another building and renovated half of it already, and we're going to be expanding.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
See, Mariah, it's already happening.
It is. Are you guys like the mayors of Grantsburg yet?
No.
You have to get up there. So, yeah, Grantsburg.
I know. I feel like I'm overdue for a trip to Burnett County.
Grantsburg, yeah, far western Wisconsin, right off Highway 70, 4887. They all converge there. I've been there to the drive-in. One of our episodes on drive-ins, and great burger there, and I'd be looking. Next time I'm going there, I am definitely hitting Brookfield Brewing because I don't want to miss any of the craft breweries in the state. So don't be surprised if you see my face in the brewery soon. All right. Excellent. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you on the episode this weekend. Nikki and Ben Peterson of Grantsburg, Four Cubs Farm, Brookfield Brewing, thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
And make sure you watch Beyond Dairy 2.0 on Discover Wisconsin this weekend on broadcast television, discoverwisconsin.com, YouTube. We've got the YouTube embedded on discoverwisconsin.com. And all of the other things like, Mariah, go ahead.
Roku, Apple TV, Smart TV, Google Chromecast, and Amazon Fire.
There they go, back to Grantsburg.
I don't know that I've met a couple with more ambition. They're like the Beyonce and Jay-Z of farming in Wisconsin. Yeah.
I've never heard that expression before, but it fits. I like it.
I want to go to that brewery.
They're building their own empire.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Part of our tour.
Road trip.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yes, I love it. Well, so we've done a lot of dairy episodes for Discover Wisconsin. I'll be honest, I'm particularly partial to the Beyond Dairy series that we started because it's all about the lives of the farmers and what they do outside of farming. And like I said to Ben and Nikki, I cannot believe they even have time to have these insane hobbies and businesses outside of their jobs. But we start the show out with a dairy farmer who is very into CrossFit, very good at CrossFit. Mm-hmm. She does some amazing work on that front.
And is also able to tie in how the nutrition from dairy products.
Yes, and how her
powers her.
Her job as a farmer is actually helps her in CrossFit and how CrossFit helps her as a farmer. It's kind of a two-way street. We meet a family that they do a ton of canning on the side, and she and her kids visit the local farmer's market, which I think is awesome to be able to show that kind of full circle element of farming. It's not just about harvesting. It's about getting it to the consumer.
Yeah, and in some cases, you create your own products. Like she made salsa and started to develop other products. So it can be an entrepreneurial thing beyond just your activities on the farm.
Totally. And then there was another family where the mom started a cafe in the nearby town, which I think
is Elkhorn,
so cool.
In the bar where she and her husband first met.
Oh, yeah. That was a cute story.
So she owns the place and creates coffee.
How cool is that? To tell their
blends and sells coffee.
To tell their grandkids that you're drinking coffee in the spot where,
it's such a Wisconsin story. Hey, you're in the bar. Your dad and I used to met up in. Yeah.
I love it. Anyway, watch the show on YouTube, Apple TV, Smart TV, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire, and Roku. Thanks, guys.
Now, thank you for listening to the Cabin Podcast. We love hearing from you guys and seeing your feedback on social media. Got to make sure you keep sharing this podcast with your friends, family, and coworkers so their lives can be enriched as well. Yes. Now, as the weather keeps getting nicer, and hopefully it'll stay that way for a while, we're all spending more time outside. If you're running or if you like biking or hiking, you can take this podcast with you, of course. It's one of the beauties of the podcasts.
So true.
Yeah. So how are our wines doing? Are we good on our wines?
I'm only halfway done with my Chardonnay.
Oh, Madonna popped a bottle of Chardonnay
for this.
It is our 21st. Oh, boy.
Wow.
It's our 21st birthday, Ellen, if you will, because this is episode 21. Also, the last premiere episode for season 33 of Discover Wisconsin, what we just talked about with Beyond Dairy. So,
been
a great season.
The season's over.
That is hard to believe. Whew. That was a doozy.
The longest season yet.
Longest season of all
time. Well, we do
time.
Do have a couple more.
Isn't it just one?
Right.
Do we have a couple
more? So I think the scoop is Manak was coming out at a later date.
Yes.
But for podcast purposes, we're going to say 21st birthday wrap on season 33.
All right.
So that means our back to BTS. I see BTS, I think, back to school.
What? Why?
Because we did a big promotion about back to school a long time ago. So our behind the scenes segment may be a little different in future episodes, but you'll have to come back next week, see what we come up with, because we have no idea what we're doing yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. We'll figure it out though. Right, Ellen?
That's right.
Okay. We always do.
Absolutely.
Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Dave Janis. Produced by me, Ellen Fallon, and Audio Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave us a 5-star review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
What started as a music festival to save the iconic steel bridge in Sturgeon Bay has turned into a trio of music events that take over the Holiday Music Motel for 1 week at three different times during the year.
I don't know of anything else in the world that is happening like this, where artists come from all over the country, all over the world, to a little motel where they get to just hole up for a week and write and record all new collaborative music, perform them, put out CDs.
The three collaborative sessions happen in June to commemorate Steel Bridge Music Fest, in February with love theme songs, and in October with spooky or dark theme songs.
Well, here at the Holiday Music Motel, we do three songwriting events a year where we close the motel to the public and we fill the motel with songwriters. And they stay with us for a whole week, and they write and record and then perform the songs on the weekend.
The event aims to get people to collaborate out of their genre and push the boundaries of their talent.
They're paired up randomly each night by a game of Spin the Bottle. And in working with artists that are so totally different, it ends up opening up these doors, I think, creatively that they didn't even know were closed.
For 1 week, the musicians are fully immersed in a collaborative songwriting experience. Whether they are professional or aspiring songwriters, openings are by invitation only or referral.
We do have kind of a core of people that have developed over the years that they come back for every event, and it's hard to imagine being able to do it without them. Sometimes one of them can't make it. That kind of makes room for a new person to come in. So the family keeps growing.
And now you know your Wisconsin.